Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. If you can get it, I gotta get it to you. And I gotta tell you why we're at this moment right now. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 18. The word of God declares, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation, can you say that with me, earnest expectation? The word earnest means eager, eager, for the eager expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm going to say that again. The eager expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible says, for the creation was made subject to vanity. The word vanity, I want you to underline and I want you to note, it's better translated frustration. For the creation was made subject to frustration, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of decay or corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. I wish I had a church in here. God, I don't have time to do it. I done messed up the time. Until now. Somebody shout now. If you're laid out, just lay where you're laid out. I don't care. Don't worry about no protocol. Just whatever. Until now. The Bible says that creation has been groaning and travailing in pain until now. And not only they, but also ourselves. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been going through too. Which has the first fruits of the Spirit, even when ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do it with patience and we wait for it. But while we're waiting for it, something is happening. The Spirit helps us in all of our infirmities. I wish I had a church. And so I want to preach this morning from the subject of earnest expectation. I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll get us to where we need to be, and I'll do it as quickly as I possibly can. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Father, speak a word to us today that changes not some things but everything and causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. May the word transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Lord, the most important thing, as you have already been doing, is that you have your way in this place. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we'll give you all the glory. But in this instance, I stand in my spiritual authority and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, move continually as you see fit in this entire service. Interrupt me if you have to. Just get us there. Meet that need. Touch that individual. Heal that heart. Bind that wound in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. We ain't got a lot of time, so quickly turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, and say, I'm waiting for something. Come on here. Yeah. Come on, look at him. Say, I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for something. All right. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to do this as quickly as I can, but I want to give you content for the reason of the shouting and the dancing and the praising and all of the things we just experienced in here. And there's a reason I want you to have that is because I want you to be grounded in the fact that God is up to something and that what you've been waiting for is not only is it on the way, but baby, it is about to show up and hit you smack dab right in your face. You're going to hold it. You're going to walk in it. It is going to be tangible. It is going to be visible. It is leaving the invisible world and it is entering into the visible space so that everybody can know that this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous. I wish I had a church in our eyes. Look at your neighbor and say, look at God. I wish I had somebody in here because that is the moniker that you're going to have over these next 21 days as you're fasting and you're praying. You're going to be texting and tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming. Look at God. I wish I had somebody in here. You're going to be posting your testimonies and telling all the world the good things that God has done for you over these next 21 days leading up to Easter and before Easter. You're going to be saying, look at God. Don't shout me down what I'm preaching good. Look at your neighbor and say, where's your expectation? Come on here. You got to learn how to put a demand on the promises of God and on the word of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to say, look at God. I wish I had somebody in here. Ah, God, let's drill it back for just a second and let's take it down a few ticks and allow me to teach just for a few moments before I heighten it a little bit with my style of preaching. It was Albert Einstein who said this: there are only two ways to live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle, and the other as if everything is. Oftentimes, many of us live our lives in the first portion of that statement. We live our lives as if nothing is miraculous. Honey, you can open your eyes. Brother, you can open your eyes in the morning and see a miracle. The very fact that the sun rises every day and sets every night without fail is an absolute miracle. Hi, God, the very reason that you're about to experience spring and that you experience fall and that you're going to experience summer and that you experience winter and they keep coming season after season without fail is an absolute miracle. When you go into the bathroom to brush your teeth and look in your eyes and wipe the sleep out your eyes, I wish I had somebody here, you're looking at an absolute miracle. And so you can determine whether to live your life as if nothing is a miracle, or you can choose to begin to live your life as if everything is a miracle. Life, if you will, is like that. Some people live it deeply. They live it fully. There's no circumstance, if you will, that hinders them from seeing life as miraculous. But there are others who allow circumstances to cause them to be colorblind, if you will, to the miraculous vision that God has painted before us of this thing called life. life. They breathe the same air, but they have this uncanny ability to see less, while others have the ability to see more. And the others that have the ability to see more typically experience more and enjoy more, but others not so much. Some people almost seem like they are half awake and completely unaware and half alive. Go ahead and poke your neighbor with your finger and say, are you here, boo? Are you here, bruh? Is there a pulse there? Are you still living? The fact that you're still alive should be celebrated every day of your life. The old saints had it right when they said, I like to thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind and giving me a mind to run on as never before. I wish I had somebody in here that's just grateful that they're still kicking. I wish I had somebody. Because I can tell you somebody is not. It was Leonardo da Vinci. I'm going to get it where I need to go, but I got to teach this to cause you to understand where we're headed. It was Leonardo da Vinci himself who once observed that the average person looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, and even talks without thinking. We don't even think about what we think about. I wish I had somebody in here. In other words, we go through life and we pass every day and every moment and don't see the beauty of the 24-hour period that you just called a day. Don't even see God's glory when we wake up in the morning. Don't even hear his voice in the leaves that are whistling past you. Don't even see the trees worshiping him as they sway back and forth. Don't even look into the sky and see the clouds all in formation at his order. And at night, don't look up and pinpoint at the stars and look at how God placed them all in their motion and set them and fixed them in their stance and said, now stay there and don't move. I wish I had somebody here. The earth is full of his glory. How can you get up and not recognize that the God that you serve is a mighty, 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 awesome, wonderful, powerful God? The reason why is because you fail to get the revelation of God and look at him like the artist that he is. God, the Bible says that when God created creation, his reaction to his creation was that he had to look at it like a masterpiece and pat himself on the back. The Bible says when God began to make this and when he began to make that, the Bible says he saw it and he said, oh, that's good. Ah, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Ah, God, when he put the two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night, he sat back and said, oh, man, that's good. When he called forth all the creeping things of the earth, he said, oh, man, that's some good stuff right there. When he carpeted the earth in green, if you will, and gave the waters its borders, he stepped back and looked at his handiwork and said, that's some good stuff. And then at the crescendo of his creation, when he had the novel idea, because all of creation was set in order to make man in his image and after his likeness and let them have dominion over the earth, he sat back and said, oh, that's real good. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at something real good. I wish I had a church in here. Y'all still trying to sit on me, but that's all right. When God saw that it was good, he was repeating, if you will, the full scope of his creation. He was looking at his own creation with awe and amazement. And who are we to sit back and look at what all is God is doing and act like we're bored and act like we're frustrated and act like he's not sovereign and act like he ain't still moving and act like your problem actually matters that much and that the sovereign God can't take your problem, turn that thing around. See, the problem is you want the problem to be over, but sometimes God gives you a breakthrough through your go-through. Y'all ain't said nothing. Sometimes the storm has a purpose. I'm getting to where I need to go. I'm getting to where I need to go. And so we don't experience what I like to call awed silence. We don't sit back and look at God and don't even have the words for what he is doing. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I get that. But sometimes God does something that leaves you absolutely speechless. You don't even have the words to articulate what just happened. You know it's miraculous, and you know it's supernatural, and you done shouted five times and danced five times, but you still lack the articulation when you try to tell somebody what just happened in your life. All they get to do is see it, but they can't allow you to verbalize it because you are in awed silence. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready for awed silence. I wish I had a church in here. God is about to do something so off the chain in your life, you aren't going to be able to put the sentences together to tell anybody. They just got to see it, and you're going to be like, look at God. I wish I had a church in here. You're going to be I don't know, but look at God. Touch your name and say, just look at God. Look at God. Oh, God, I wish I had a church. Now, in other words, if you don't believe that sort of thing, that scripture to cause you to understand what it is that I'm talking about. When you sit back in awed silence, I can only imagine, because there is no record, no recording of the people's responses when the Lord caused manna to come down from heaven to show up every day, huh, God, and sent them double. I wish I had somebody on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day, I wish I had somebody, they would experience a Sabbath. Because God doesn't just want to give you something without including the opportunity for you to still trust him and believe him. So he'll supply a need, but then he'll say, on the seventh day, you still got to trust me, God, for what I told you is about to happen. Y'all not even in here with me. And so there is no verbiage in scripture that describes. The only thing they said was, what is this? Look at your neighbor and say, that's what you're going to be saying, baby. Y'all try and sit on me, but that's all right. What is this? I wish I had somebody in here. And so God then has the power to bring something into your life that lacks description and definition. In other words, all you can do is taste and see. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting that the Lord God, he is good. There is no verbiage in scripture that allows us to see the response or the reaction of the children of Israel when Moses stretched out his hands over the Red Sea and the waters rolled back to a city called Adam. And the Bible says they didn't even walk in the mud, but they walked on dry ground. Can you imagine, my God, the awed silence of walking through a body of water and looking at the whales being held back in the waves and not being able to crash through to your life as you pass over from your past life to your new life. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to be in awe silence. I wish I had somebody, as God take you from all the pain and all the misery that you have experienced in your past and takes you into your new life. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm crossing over today to a... Why are y'all sitting on me right now? My God. Slap another neighbor a high five and say, I'm crossing over today, baby. In awed silence. I don't even have the words. I don't even have the thoughts to try to figure out how I got over. One of the greatest mistakes we make in our Christian faith is approaching God deductively as an object of knowledge instead of approaching him inductively as a cause of wonder. In other words, we approach God as an object of knowledge and say, I want to know you, Lord. Well, that's wonderful. That's a great place to start in worship. But he'll blow your mind. God, when you begin to get a knowledge of God, you'll begin to say, who are you? God, and who am I that you were so mindful of me, that you would choose to even visit me? I'm preaching way better than y'all should, and care about my little affairs. God, look at your name and say, he's thinking about you right now, right now, right now. And so you approach God deductively. And so then you try to deduce his promises and try to deduce his power. You try to figure out how he fed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and a little bit two pieces of sardine fish. You're trying to figure out, well, possibly other people had food and they were just stingy and they weren't sharing with nobody. No, the devil is a liar. For the Bible says they were out there for 3 days and the Lord was concerned about them being hungry, and he told the disciples to go and feed the people. And then it was the disciples that said, we don't have nothing. And God said, you got me. And as long as you got me, you got every... Turn me up a little bit, Kenny. You got everything you could possibly need. Slap your neighbor. Come on, say, I got Jesus, baby. I wish I had a church to preach to in here. You might not have two nickels to rub together, but you got Jesus. He'll take what you got, bless it to the Father. I feel an anointing, and begin to multiply it. Look at your neighbor and say, there's an anointing to multiply. I wish I had a church in here. There's an anointing to accelerate. The miraculous anointing to multiply. I can't blow my voice out. I got to do this another time today. I can guarantee you, if I was preaching to someone else, they would lose their mind. Allow me to prophesy to your dead, cold spirit. There's an anointing right now to multiply and accelerate what you ain't got. Sit on it if you want to, or receive it if you believe. Multiply every home. Multiply every business. Multiply every paycheck. Stretch it, Lord. Multiply every seed sown. Accelerate healing. Accelerate blessing. God, I feel an anointing in here. Accelerate. I got a few more minutes. Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. When we approach God deductively rather than inductively, we try to prove. We try to prove that God is factual. He is. But the facts don't awe us. The facts were, I had two pieces of fish and 5 loaves of bread. The facts were, I came to the Red Sea and there was no place to cross. The facts are, I wish I had somebody here. We were out in the middle of the desert, didn't know how we were going to survive because all of our natural resources ran out. And then all of a sudden we woke up in the morning and there was stuff on the ground. Oh, I just felt an anointing. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, and suddenly, God, I feel this thing. I'm just going to preach to myself. And suddenly, when I woke up in the morning, oh God, there's a 24-hour and suddenly. For somebody, when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be laying out. God, I feel this thing up in here. I got to hurry up. Y'all sit down. Let me preach. Let me finish. We approach God like he's factual. He is, but the facts don't awe us. The facts really don't awe us. I don't have time to go into this, you know. The mind is educated with facts, but the soul is educated with beauty and awe. See, the soul has to be educated with beauty and awe, because it's going to be in the time of your promise and in your pain that your soul is going to be wrestling with either to believe the promise or to believe the pain. This is why when the Shunammite woman, I wish I had somebody in here, got a promise from God that she would have a son, and her son died from a heat stroke. She got dressed like it was Sunday morning and went to go see the man of God. And when Gehazi saw her afar off, she said, is it well with your husband? She said, yep, it's good. She said, is it well with your son? She said, yep, he good too. He said, is it well with you? She said, yes, it is well with my soul. I wish I had somebody here. Your soul's got to be awestruck. Your mind don't need the facts. Your mind needs wonderment and amazement. Slap your neighbor high five and say, he's a wonder. Come on here. In my soul. God, I feel like preaching in here. Slap your neighbor again and say, he's a wonder. Come on here. In my soul. Y'all ain't gonna have no church in here. That's what the old saints used to say. That's why they said it. They weren't thinking about nothing, no facts. I need God to be a wonder in my soul. I need, when I wake up in the morning, I got to scratch my head because I can't figure out how he solved that problem. And I can't figure out how that door got open. And I can't figure out how that barrier got knocked down. And I can't, God, I feel it in here. I can't figure it out. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Slap your name and say, stop trying to figure it out, baby. God's got this. Come on, God's got this. He's got, I got to get us to where we're supposed to be. Oh, God, I feel it in here. See, odd silence is really a form of worship. It's deeper and truer than song sung. A word spoken when you just sitting there going. That's odd silence. Somebody say, get ready for it. And they're going to be looking at you. Why are you in the bathroom with your hands lifted up? Look at God, honey. Look. I don't have the words to try to explain to you. Hallelujah. I got to hurry up and get us to where we need to. I don't have time. I don't have time to go through all of that. I was going, you know me, I like the signs, and I was going to wear you out with just your eyeball. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Give you a little bit. Look, the teachers in the room like, come on, give us something. You see, God is so awesome. He is so wonderful that you got to appreciate just the miracle of sight. Ears that hear and eyes that see. The Lord, the Bible says, the Lord has made both of them. You have to understand, my God, that to simulate. Listen to this: to simulate 10 milliseconds of the complete processing of even a single nerve cell from the retina would require the solution of about 500 simultaneous, I don't even know what this means, non-linear differential equations 100 times, and would take at least several minutes of processing time on a Cray supercomputer. It takes a supercomputer, God, 10 milliseconds of complete processing that has to be done 500 times in 500 equations 100 times over to process your little blinking of the eye. So you going like this, wink, takes a supercomputer. See, that's why I ain't give it to you, because you weren't going to shout no one. Because you like, I don't even know what he just said. What I just said was that just blinking your eye takes a supercomputer, a lot of work to try to simulate blinking your eye. That's why That's why graphic designers and graphic artists get paid a whole lot of money to simulate animation. I wish I had somebody. And robotics to try to simulate what a body would do. Supercomputer about to shut down. When the Bible says he come in the twinkling. Can I fill it up? He comes just that quick. You ain't ready for God. Slap your name and say, you ain't ready, baby. You ain't ready for the God. Your eyeball calculates 10 billion decisions a second. Look that way, 10 billion. But my BG&E bill. The next time you worried about something, wink at it. God, I feel it up in here. They not even going to know what you're doing. Get your phone out. Wink. God, I feel it up. Stay with me. I'm almost there. I promise. I'm going to get you out. I promise. Watch this. I left a lot of stuff out. Don't worry about it. I could go on and on and on. Your body is doing some crazy stuff. Your body's inhaling oxygen and metabolizing energy and maintaining equilibrium and producing hormones and repairing tissues and purifying toxins and digesting food and exhaling carbon dioxide. I wish I had somebody circulating blood all at the same time. And God kept that all in orchestration and all in order when he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And you sitting back worrying about some little problem or circumstance that God is laughing at saying, boo, I told you we're going to the other side. I told you was at the finish line. I told you this was the month of miracles. I told you. And you sitting back talking about something about my BGE bill. Because you approach God deductively. He's not a wonder in your soul. You want the facts. God designed us with senses, 5 of them to be exact. But he didn't leave us with just 5. He gave us a 6th sense. Each of the 5 senses is nothing short of the miraculous. If I talked about your nose can detect 1/1,000,000th of 1 milligram of a garlic floating in the air. Somebody start corking, you go. Every time my daughter and I ride past H&S Bakery, she rolls the window down, go. We could be 3 blocks over. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We could be on Aliciano, or we could be on Central. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Oh, shit, roll the window down. I'm like, what are you doing? Smelling the bread. She loves bread. Your body is amazing. These senses are amazing, but they are limited. The reason that they are limited is because some things cannot be perceived. They can only be conceived. Some things can't be deduced. They can only be imagined. Some things cannot be learned. They can only be revealed, baby. That's why Paul said, no eye has seen and no ear has heard. Neither has a mind conceived what nothing has entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love them. But watch this. But God has revealed it unto them by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the 6th sense that when your perception, your sensory perception don't kick in, the Holy Spirit comes behind you and said, I smell something. I see something. I hear something. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. And the Spirit of God is trying to tell you, I smell something. I hear something. I see something coming to your life. Your senses have been dulled by your pain and your problems. So you don't have eyes to see and you don't have ears to hear because you can't step into your sixth sense. See, your natural senses can only perceive the natural, but the sixth sense sees the spiritual. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all are showing. That's why the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit compensates for our sensory limits by enabling us to conceive of things we cannot perceive with our five senses. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't going to be able to touch it right now. Come on here. You probably can't see it visibly right now. You can't smell it right now. You can't taste it right now. But it don't mean that it ain't there, baby. The Holy Spirit is about to help your infirmity. My God, I'm preaching up in here. So, because Romans 8 tells us then, now I'm at the text, because now Romans 8 tells us that we have this difficulty because, and I didn't even get into the adoption of sonship and all of that, but Romans 8, and I got to hurry up, Romans 8 tells us we have a little bit of a difficulty, and that difficulty is related to our connection and understanding who we are in the Lord. And so because it's the Spirit of God that gives us the depth perception that we need to understand what he promised is going to happen. This is why babies love games of peekaboo. Huh, God? When you play peekaboo with a baby, in their mind, cognitively, and their sight has not been developed yet because their depth perception is very limited. In other words, they can't see all of the world. They can't see. They have low definition and it's two-dimensional. In other words, but something happens in the fourth month, God have mercy, of a baby. God, their world begins to get a little bit bigger. When you play peekaboo with a little child and you close your eyes like that and go peekaboo, and when you cover your eyes and cover their eyes and go peekaboo, you actually disappear in their mind, even though you are still in front of them. But in their mind, you are not there. And so when you uncover their eyes and you're right in front of their face, y'all ain't saying nothing. They're looking at you like, because you just show back up. But if you do it to a five-year-old gonna be like, what are you doing? Why are you covering my eyes? Get off me. I wanna see. Y'all ain't said, because in their mind, y'all ain't said, they know you are here. Some of y'all are like the baby. Y'all ain't said nothing. Your depth perception in the spirit is two-dimensional. You can't see nothing unless it's right in front of your face. But as you mature in God, you go, get off of me. Why? I already saw it. They over there. I'm going to start charging y'all admission. I got to hurry up. So what I'm trying to give you is some perceptual vigilance. Perceptual vigilance. On one level, seeing is believing. But on a whole nother level, believing is seeing. This has been scientifically proven. They did a research with a binocular viewing machine. When you go into the DMV to take your license exam, they do a vision test. They put you in this little machine, and you gotta tap on the side. Did you see the blinks? It blinked on the right, blinked on the left. I recall a Cosby Show episode where Bill Cosby was going through these tests of his eyes and his ears. And on the eyes, he tapping stuff that ain't there. And the ears, he start 1, 2. And then it got good to him. He started going. And he took the headphones off with confidence and said, "Did I pass?" He said, "Yeah, you got them all. And you got something that wasn't even there." That's how we got to be in the spiritual realm. Yeah, I see the problem, but there's some stuff out here. Oh, God, that you can't hear what I hear and you can't see what I see. Because I got perceptual vigilance. Let me close. Watch this. So Paul says, here's the problem. The entire earth is groaning in travail for the manifestations of the sons of God. Everybody's waiting. All of creation. He's not just talking about people. All of creation. I don't have time to get into it theologically, but all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Why is creation waiting with eager expectation? Because they know, God, there's a glory coming that will be so blindingly powerful that when it falls upon us, it will even envelop the whole created order and glorify us along with it. It will even bring nature into a renewed, restored, and redeemed reality. But the Bible says, as Paul explains it, that it's not just creation in this earnest expectation. It's us also. He says we are also groaning and travailing in pain until now. And we're waiting also, but we're doing it with hope. And while we're waiting, the Spirit, our sixth sense, is helping us with our infirmities. And when we don't know what to pray for, it is the Spirit that begins to make intercession for us. I'm preaching way better, Yasha, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he begins to search. He begins to do a Google search, God, of the deep things of God. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. And so you're trying to figure out how's that going to happen and how's that going to show up. And the Spirit is sitting down at his Apple computer. I wish I had somebody Googling your breakthrough and Googling your miracle and Googling. I wish I had somebody to talk to. And goes and reminds the Father that you are his child and begins to bear witness with your spirit. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting that you are a child of the living God. Look at your neighbor and say, "I belong to him." Come on here. I'm going to close this thing up. And he does this. And because he does this, the Bible says, then we know. I don't have no church. This is how I know I ain't got no church. Because y'all have been shouting on this one, but I done shouted y'all out already. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called. I wish I had somebody here. According to his purpose. Slap your neighbor high five and say, "I'm waiting on something because I know something." I got the reason I can wait for it is because I know that whatever I'm waiting for, my God, is going to work out for my good. And whatever I'm dealing with is going to work out for my good. For those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm waiting for the glory that's about to show up in just a little while." I believe before Easter shows up, you're going to experience some manifested glory. Oh God. Everyone standing on your feet all over again. This message didn't go the way I planned. Yeah. Preachers, I appreciate this. Oh, I know the word was good. I just didn't go the way I planned. Which means it went well. It never goes the way I planned. ever. I've never preached a message and been like, yeah. Ever. Ever. The wink, that wasn't nowhere near part of this message. But it was good stuff.